I'm not here to lecture about the poems. I don't intend to give you any answers whatsoever. I think we've made many mistakes in the schools making literature, especially poetry, the province of the teacher rather than that experience that everybody should have. And besides, if I'm going to travel 1,000 miles, I want to have fun. And it's far more interesting for me to listen to you come to some understanding and enlightenment about these poems than it is for me to hear myself talk. And I really don't have much to say about them at all. But I do have some questions. However, today we're going to approach it a little bit differently. I've just taken a new job. I've been hired by Ms. Magazine to... I've been hired by this magazine to find a woman who would be the best spokeswoman there is for women's issues. You've heard of women's issues?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right. So our job today is to select from among all of these women poets the one woman that you think would be the best person for writing about women's issues in Ms. Magazine, okay? Or any magazine, I suppose, but something that, all right? And also I want you to select the woman that you think would be the very poorest or the worst choice. Now, you have to understand, we do not get to go to dinner until we resolve this, so we all have to agree on one.
Hey, we got hamburgers tonight. I'm waiting for a drink for 2 weeks.
So you know what that means? It doesn't allow you simply to select the woman poet whom you consider to be the best, but you must also be able to defeat other people's choices. Say she would not be no good for this. See, so you have to know all these poems perfectly. So we have to get started. Here, I want to hand those down to the people just came in. And I'd like some help in reading the poems. I'll start off with one, and then somebody else can read one. And page 37, what's the first one? 35, all right? Here we go. These, incidentally, are arranged... Well, I don't know. Do you want to know how they're arranged in what order? You do. No, that might prejudice you before you... Yes, I think we'd better let that go. Against love. Hence, Cupid, with your cheating toys, your real griefs and painted joys, your pleasure which itself destroys. Lovers like men in fevers burn and rave, and only what will injure them do crave. Men's weakness makes love so severe, they give him power by their fear, and make the shackles which they fear. Who to another does his heart submit, makes his own idol, and then worships it. Him whose heart is all his own, peace and liberty does crown. He apprehends no killing frown. He feels no raptures which are joys diseased, and is not much transported, but still pleased. Catherine Phillips did that. Okay. The lady's resolve. Whilst thirst of praise and vain desire of fame in every age is woman's aim, with courtships pleased, of silly toasters proud, fond of a train and happy in a crowd, on each proud fop bestowing some kind glance, each conquest owing to some loose advance, while vain coquettes affect to be pursued and think they're virtuous, if not grossly lewd, let this great maxim be my virtue's guide. In part she is to blame that has been tried. He comes too near that comes to be denied. Okay, that's Lady Montague. So I'm going to read on the death of Mrs. Bowes. A couple of suggestions. If you haven't been practicing reading poetry closely lately, try to get a grasp of what's the situation. Where are we? Are we on top of a mountain in a room? Are we watching a ball game? What's the situation that the poem is presented to us in? And who is the speaker, the attitude, whatever. Somebody want to read on the death of Mrs. Bowes? Go ahead.
Hail, happy bride, for thou art truly blessed. 3 months of rapture crowned with endless rest. Merit like yours was heaven's peculiar care. You loved, yet tasted happiness sincere. To you the sweets of love were only shown, the sure succeeding dregs unknown. You had not yet the fatal change deplored, the tender lover from the imperious lord, nor felt the pain that jealous fondness brings, nor felt that coldness from possession springs. Above your sex, distinguished in your fate, you trusted, yet experienced no deceit. Soft were your hours, and winged with pleasure flew. No vain repentance gave a sigh to you. And if superior bliss heaven can bestow with fellow angels, you enjoy it now.
Somebody else? Go ahead, Keith.
Can I read one of the other ones?
I beg your pardon?
Can I read the next one?
Yeah, that's fine. Do you have one you would like to read?
Yeah, but I'll read the next one.
Oh, go ahead. What? Where?
The last one, Home Free.
On what page?
39.
All right. Home Free.
Inch by inch along the bed, growing more compact, his arms pulled up like birds' wings. My father is almost 90. I love you, I say over and over, until I read in Time magazine that saying this holds the dying back. They get polite, they hang around to thank you. I love you, I say under my breath. In Bangkok, you can buy a bird in front of the temple for 20 cents. It's not to eat, nor to listen to, nor to admire, but to set free. Spring the door with your plastic diner's card. Wait for the scrabble. The head poked out the door, air by your face, and up he goes.
Anybody back on page 35? Page 35?
'Twas mercy brought me from my pagan land, taught my benighted soul to understand that there's a God, that there's a Savior too. Once I redemption neither sought nor knew. Some view our sable race with scornful eye. Their color is like a diabolic dye. Remember, Christians, Negroes black as Cain may be refined and join the angelic train.
Grotesque?
Anybody?
Dean, go ahead.
Why do the lilies goggle their tongues at me when I pluck them, and writhe and twist and strangle themselves against my fingers, so that I can hardly weave the garland for your hair? Why do they shriek your name and spit at me when I would cluster them? Must I kill them to make them lie still, and send you a wreath of lolling corpses to turn putrid and soft on your forehead while you dance?
Let's put page 36 aside for a minute. All those are from Emily Dickinson. Okay, we'll get back to those later. Turn to page 37. An old woman. The past has come apart. Events are vaguing. The future is a seedless pod. The present, pain. Not even pain has that precision with which it struck in youth. Years like moths erode internal organs, hanging or falling in a spoiled closet. Does your mirror bedevil you, or is the impossible possible to senility? How could the erstwhile agilent, slim self, that narrow silhouette, come to contain this huge incognito, this bulbous stranger, only to be exorcised by death? Dilation has entirely dominated your long reality. Prophecy?
I shall lie hidden in a hut in the middle of an alder wood, with the back door blind and bolted shut, and the front door locked for good. I shall lie folded like a saint, lapped in a scented linen sheet, on a bedstead striped with bright blue paint, narrow and cold and neat. The midnight will be glass black behind the panes, with wind about to set his mouth against a crack and blow the candle out.
That poet is Eleanor Wiley. Silence. My father used to say, superior people never make long visits, have to be shown Longfellow's grave or the glass flowers at Harvard. Self-reliant like the cat that takes its prey to privacy, the mouse's limp tail hanging like a shoelace from its mouth. They sometimes enjoy solitude and can be robbed of speech by speech which has delighted them. The deepest feeling always shows itself in silence, not in silence, but restraint. Nor was he insincere in saying, make my house your inn. Inns are not residences. Marion Moore.
Come after breakfast, bring it on your lunch and leave before supper time.
Somebody read spring? Thank you.
To what purpose, April, do you return again? Beauty is not enough. You can no longer quiet me with the regress of little leaves opening stickily. I know what I know. The sun is hot on my neck as I observe the spikes of the crocus. The smell of the earth is good. It is apparent that there is no death. But what does that signify? Not only underground are the brains of men eaten by maggots. Life in itself is nothing, an empty cup, a flight of uncarpeted stairs. It is not enough that yearly, down this hill, April comes like an idiot, babbling and strewing flowers.
Women on page 38.
Women have no wilderness in them. They are provident instead, content in the toil hot still of their hearts to eat the dusty bread. They do not see cattle cropping red winter grass. They do not hear snow water going down under culverts shallow and clear. They wait when they should turn to journeys. They stiffen when they should bend. They use against themselves that benevolence to which no man is friend. They cannot think of so many crops to a field or of clean wood cleft by an axe. Their love is an eager meaninglessness, too tense or too lax. They hear in every whisper that speaks to them a shout and a cry. As like as not, when they take life over their door sills, they should let it go by. She may not be voted to.
She'd be right up at the top, would you?
Insomnia? Keith will do that one. This is Elizabeth Bishop.
The moon in the bureau mirror looks out a million miles, and perhaps with pride at herself, but she never, never smiles. Far and away beyond sleep, or perhaps she's a daytime sleeper. By the universe deserted, she'd tell it to go to hell, and she'd find a body of water or a mirror on which to dwell. So wrap up care in a cobweb and drop it down the well. Into that world inverted where left is always right, where the shadows are really the body, where we stay awake all night, where the heavens are shallow as the sea, is now deep and you love me.
And the hermit has a visitor. Thank you, Graham.
Once he puts out the light, moth wings on the window screams slow and drop away like film, lapping the spool after the whole movie's run out. He lies curled like a lima bean, still holding back its cotyledon. Night is a honeycomb. Night is the fur on a blue plum. And then she sings. She raises the juice. She is a needle, he the cloth. She is the A string, he the rosewood. She is the thin line of concert pitch. She has the eggs and he the blood. And after she is a small red stain on the wall.
Poppies in October. Go ahead, Keith.
Even the sun clouds this morning cannot manage such skirts. Nor the woman in the ambulance, whose red heart blooms through her coat so astoundingly. A gift, a love gift, utterly unasked for by a sky. Palely and flammily igniting its carbon monoxide by eyes dulled to halt under boulders. Oh my God, what am I that these late mouths should cry open in a forest of frost and a dawn of corn flowers?
39.
It is the best thing.
Tell us what it is.
It's called pregnancy.
Thank you.
It is the best thing. I should always like to be pregnant. Tummy thickening like a yogurt, unbelievable flower. A queen is always pregnant with her country. Shiva of questions, or briny siren at her difficult passage. One is the mountain that moves toward the earliest gods. Who started this? An axis? A quake? A perimeter? I have no decisions to master that could change my frame or honor. Immaculate. Or if it was not, perfect. Pregnant, I'm highly explosive. You can feel it long before your seed will run back to hug you, squaring and cubing into reckless bones, bouncing odd ways like a football. The heart sloshes through the microphone like falls in a box canyon. The queen's only a figurehead, 9 months pulled by 9 planets, the moon slipping through its amnion sea, trapped, stone mad, and 3 beings live gel in my womb.
Abortion? Coming home, I find you still in bed, but when I pull back the blanket, I see your stomach is flat as an iron. You've done it, as you warned me you would, and left the fetus wrapped in wax paper for me to look at. My son. Woman, loving you no matter what you do, what can I say, except that I've heard the poor have no children, just small people, and there is room only for one man in this house.
Who wrote that?
I.
She's a woman. She's speaking.
I beg your pardon?
Is she speaking as a man?
Yeah. How is he coming then? Anybody want to read that one?
Like a pot turned on a straw, nuzzled by cows, and an old man dressed like a pot. Like a loaf a poor baker sets in the haystack to cool. Like a shepherd who hears and is hurting his mother's whisper, my son, my son.
And we already had home free, didn't we? Let's read at least one of Emily Dickinson, but since each other writer got only one, we'll give her only one. Any particular one there that somebody recognizes and you would like us to use?
I'd like to see it wrap the
miles. Which one? I'd like to see it wrap the miles?
Sure.
I'd like to see it wrap the miles. It's right in the middle of the page. I'd like to see it wrap the miles and lick the valleys up and stop to feed itself at tanks and then prodigious step around a pile of mountains and supercilious peer in shanties by the sides of roads and then a quarry pair to fit its ribs and crawl between, complaining all the while in hard hooting stanza, then chase itself downhill. And they, like Boanerges, then, punctual as a star, stop, docile and omnipotent, at its own stable door. That should be at its own stable door. And there was a word up above that was not typed correctly. What was that?
By the sides of the room.
Yeah, by the side, that's right. Yeah. Okay, that's enough. We've read one from each, right? Yeah. Regroup now into groups of 3 or 4. I suggest that members of the same family separate so that we don't have too much power in one group. And then, in about 20 minutes, we'll get together as a large group and we'll get this set. If any of you who came late, the task is to select from here the woman that you consider would be the best speaker, the best voice, the best writer for women today. And the more you separate from the groups, the louder you can shout.
We didn't quite agree. It's between the guest's love and the lady's resolve.
Give me their names.
Okay, on page 35. Oh, sorry, Catherine Phillips or Lady Montague.
Phillips. You don't have to agree in the groups. You can have
the other
separate voice.
The other
voice. We'll get the words next, okay? Any others for first choice?
Phil Wheatley. Poppies in October. Sylvia Plath. And I'd like to put Diana O'Hare in contention.
Not by the poems chosen here, but if you know anything about Emily Dickinson, she's a rabble-rouser. She'd be good for news.
Well, we were going to look at her, but we thought we had to work on the poems we read.
Yeah.
So we left her out.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
But
if you know anything about her, she'd really be a good
Any more for first choice? Others? Let's have the worst.
Lady Mary Wortley Montagu. We didn't have any trouble with that one.
She didn't get over there.
Nope.
That's too bad.
That was the second choice on our
show. Yeah. We took it as irony and sarcasm. If so, then we put her in second choice.
Yeah.
But we weren't sure.
That's what we spent a lot of time.
Oh, from a modern
day
point of view, we'll leave Bolden one. It's a good choice.
For
form.
The worst?
Yeah. For best with my girl. Yeah. From a modern-day point of view.
Oh, yeah.
She
the one of...
Yeah, Bowman is the one that we put down that way. That was the first one. We didn't even have to vote on one of
them. Oh, yeah. We could put
and those first
the whole
two.
Birthday.
What was your first choice? Bowman?
We talked about it.
We decided. Bowman?
We
decided
she was certain, truly sarcastic.
Any others for worst choice? Okay. Well, let's defend our choices. Why don't we begin with the Bowden, since that's got some nice diametrical opposition.
I like it because it's so well stereotyped women of an era that were in the home all the time, and that's what started Women's Lib. I'm tired of not journeying. I'm tired of not being in the fields. I'm tired of not being able to split wood and being told I'm not strong enough to split wood, or I don't know how to hold an axe.
Yeah.
It's very well written.
Well, it really depends on if one sees it as irony, and if that's it, then she could be on. The same was true of our, what do you call her,
Monty.
Or whatever it is. That depends on if you can put her on either side, depending on whether it's solid irony or.
Well, how do you read the poem? Is she being straightforward, literal, or is she speaking ironically, that she means the opposite of what she says? Keith, how do you read that? Did you?
I don't know. I would tend to read it as irony because it seems it does. If she was speaking literally, I don't think that these images would be assembled the way they are here. I mean, it seems that. The way, I don't know, but it just seems the way she's speaking it. I mean, it seems that she's talking at a literal level that women can't do this, they don't do this and that, and it just seems that when she says that, it's like it automatically brings to your mind a questioning of that.
You're talking about Bogan.
Right.
Yeah. I don't just despair. She just is unhappy with women's lots and just.
Despair, that's a good
thing. We looked when we were looking at this, we decided on what would be our stereotype of what a women's magazine would want for the writer. And we first thing we did, we're going to go through and chop off the ones that would work. We're almost ready to write this one off and into that. But wait, boy, she just wouldn't be this boring writer. She'd be someone who'd take a stand on something, and she's talking on women as if she's you know, kind of things about women and what it is. And in a sense, she's encouraging them to be more than themselves, I think. You know, they don't have any wilderness in them, you know, and they're encouraging to.
I mean, she's painting a picture so dark they can't help but see they want to change it. Is that?
Yeah, something like that.
Who knows? We don't. I mean, I sure don't know what she's doing. But if that's true, then you can have her on this side of the fence.
Yeah. So we went back and forth and we were looking.
Well, it is hard to find the clues for whether or not it's ironic or not. But I think actually you made a really good point that if she were being serious, the way that she's made metaphors and the way that she's made images there, it's very subtle, but there are some clues about irony in there.
Why would she just, I mean, that's the thing, why would she just say that? Why would she just write a poem?
Well, there were some women, though, who were so against, I mean, in the earlier days, who were so against any changes or anything like that. I don't know. I saw this as more of an old-fashioned, kind of in a negative thing until I heard that, and I thought, that's really good.
Maybe I'm biased because, I mean, the poem's kind of modern.
Content in a tight, hot cell of their hearts. It doesn't sound like she really believes that where she wants to be.
And she says, silly toasters, you know, always.
And in part, she is to blame.
Which one is
we
it?
We are part of the blame for
Monty,
aren't you?
No. I think that the fact that she's saying they, she's not saying we, I think she's angry at some people who are still filling the stereotypes and that are dragging their feet and aren't coming along, and I think she's just angry at that.
Straightforward and honest, right? Mm-hmm.
Don't we all know women that get up and send their kids to school and watch soap operas and yet they yearn for what is out in the world and they cook the dinner and they go to bed and they do that day after day?
So you're saying they deserve this statement?
No, I'm just saying this is, I think it's very literal what she's saying, and I think we all know women that are in this position. They have no wilderness in them, they have no adventure, they are merely stereotypical little housewives.
And she's angry at
that. Because I've been a housewife.
Okay, well, let that dwell for a while. Let's go to McPherson. Why? McPherson's on page 39. Pregnancy is her poem. Why does she merit such a position? What are her strengths? Why would she do a good job for women?
She's positive, but has good feelings about this. It's also kind of mystical about how she knows that it's not all her doing. There's something else going on. And the queen's only figurehead. 9 months pulled by nine. Seems like a very positive kind of thing, that it's all part of a continuing chain or something, even though you're part of it and it's happening now. It's above and beyond you somehow.
This is Ms. Magazine.
A little bit louder, please.
We're talking about Ms. Magazine. Mm-hmm. You think they write all that kind of stuff in here?
Oh, sure.
I'm too familiar with the
well, I mean, it's a feminist magazine, but not all feminists are angry and hostile. I think feminism is about change, mm-hmm. about positive change. And you have to pass through sort of an angry phase of that, but I think the ultimate goal is positive change. I guess maybe, you know, it'd be interesting to talk about what the criteria should be for a good...
That's for you people to decide for yourself. I don't know. I have to hire a person.
I think that McPherson would be fine if she also would be comfortable with putting I in the magazine as well. AI or whatever you call it. The abortion.
Would she?
I mean, I think that McPherson is very positive for pregnancy there, much more than probably is the contemporary zeitgeist.
I don't understand, Dee, what your point was about the abortion.
I'm saying that if she's going to be the editor or whatever it is,
she's going to be a writer.
I thought she was the editor, and if she could put if she could put I in there as well, then okay. But you'd have to have both, on abortion and pregnancy.
You mean she'd just write an article for the magazine? She wouldn't be, you know, determined at all.
Oh, I'm sorry, we were thinking of her as editor.
Screen everything that goes in it.
I kind of disagree, though, that she's real positive.
I do, too.
You're her old man.
Yeah.
She starts out positive, but then she says, I think he's only a figurehead 9 months old by nine.
By nine planets.
That's very negative.
I think of that in a part of an ongoing chain, like the chain of life, and like, who started this, and I don't know.
Yeah, but the trapped stone mad follows us, and three beings' lives gel in my womb. That's I don't know. I don't think that's all negative.
Hmm. 9 months pulled by nine planets. The moon slooping through its amnion sea. Trapped, stone mad, and three beings' lives gel in my womb.
Trapped is hardly positive.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the
stone
mad. Lives gel in my womb. That's what's
only
going on while I'm trapped.
Just a minute, go ahead.
I think that perhaps it's all negative. She's trapped, she's mad, but while she's trapped and mad, she can't stop that three beings are gelling in her womb anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not happy about it.
It's like, this is what's expected of me. This is what everyone says is the best thing that could possibly happen to me. I'm going to have a child. That is my role. That is my duty. And she does kind of add this mystical element, you know, where does this all come from? But in the meantime, she's trapped, exactly like you said.
She may not be talking about herself as being trapped.
The child, I thought of a child. May be trapped. I thought of a child.
Just maybe she wouldn't like any longer again.
The child within is the one that is trapped. And if you've ever been pregnant, sometimes they struggle very much to be free. And they're so angry in there.
Yeah, I remember the feeling.
If it indeed is negative, then maybe what you're saying is she starts out the way people traditionally thought and then changes en route. Is that it? Because she starts out as, it is the best thing. I should always like to be pregnant. Tell me, think me like a little unbelievable flower. That's pretty positive stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe before she got pregnant, she feels that way.
Maybe, but that's like it happened.
Yeah, that's right, like she's feeling it now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she could be happy because she's pregnant, and then I don't think any pregnant woman is happy the last month or two anyway, waiting for the time to come to get over with.
Maybe you're almost right
over becoming pregnant.
I see the queen is used twice. A queen is always pregnant with her country. And then at the bottom, it's the queen's only a figurehead. See, I see that as a negative because she feels like she's only a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she's separated in a way and not really a part of, like she's a front of this whole pregnancy thing. Another thing that stuck out to me was, I have no decisions to master that could change my frame. It's like...
I want to hear about Catherine Phillips. What is it that promotes Catherine Phillips on page 35, upper left, against love, hence Cupid with his cheating thoughts? Who suggested her?
We did.
You did.
Three of us here.
I don't know that we had the right understanding of Ms. Magazine.
I think it's positive, though, don't you? Like, instead of falling for the fairy tale version of love, you should be your own person and you should think for yourself. You can be happy and contented without a person necessarily. That only if you're thinking clearly can you be truly happy instead of this crazy fairy tale type.
And it's a pretty harsh appraisal of men.
But see, I thought his magazine was one of these magazines with these aggressive women that want their place. And there are a lot of battered women out there, and I thought they were in support of these women and the way men are treating women and with rape and et cetera. And that's what I see Ms. Magazine to be about and against. And that's why I was for that one. Because
well,
I think it's
you see, the magazine, even if the magazine is that way, you still have the power today to suggest the person you want on the staff. And I've got the power to hire that person, and no matter what the magazine is, we want the person that you think is going to be the best spokesperson for the women. It doesn't necessarily have to fit.
Oh, I see. I see what you're doing. Okay. Well, don't you really be still playing?
Well, how did you get to be the one that could choose that? You had some.
I bought the magazine. Anything else for Catherine Phillips? All right, let's go to Wheatley. We've got 3 more minutes. Phyllis Wheatley. She's on the same page in the middle on the right column.
Oh, I think we suggested her. She seemed to be obviously she was black. We thought she'd give a balanced approach to a balanced view to a women's magazine. Obviously had been subject to race, and she still had a even-minded answer and approach. She seemed to be a well-balanced person that could handle negative and was compassionate about it, and we thought she would be a good spokesperson to give be a good author for a magazine.
Keith?
I don't know if we came to an agreement on this, but we had kind of tossed around the idea that she would not be a good writer because it would be equally as believable for a man to say.
A little louder, Keith,
would be equally as believable if a man said this, that there was nothing riding on her being a woman. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. He thought that she could give a balanced view when she was didn't take prejudice bitterly, and he thought she would handle issues.
Really? You're thinking about having multicultured staff on their magazine, you know?
Well, I'm glad we didn't get that resolved because now I get to interview all of these interesting women.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly going to call this while we've got her over here. Watch for the magazine, see who's writing.
And if Phyllis Wheatley is a man, it's going to be very interesting.
Well, thank you very much for informing me.